Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Congratulations on getting through your work week. Hopefully you're still at work or going back to work soon. If you're like me, summertime really doesn't start until the baseball season starts. So even though you look outside and it's much nicer than it's been the last couple of days, and there's a lot of cars out there, so I guess it's starting to feel a little bit like summer. But to me, the official start of summer is when baseball gets here. And it looks like hopefully they're going to come up with a plan sooner rather than later. Although if you heard from Max Scherzer a couple of days ago and a couple of weeks ago from Blake Snell, I don't think the players are coming off necessarily what they're asking for, because they don't think what they're asking for is unfair. I think it's just a little bit too simple. I think the way the players are looking at it is, if I was going to get $10 million and you want me to play half the season, I want $5 million. And the owners come back and they go, well, here's the thing. When we said we were going to give you the $10 million or even the five, that was when we thought that we were going to sell beers and hot dogs and nachos and Cracker Jack and parking and all that stuff. So we're not going to make as much money. So I do understand. Like, I do. I'm not saying which side I'm taking, because quite frankly, I'm not taking the multimillionaires or the billionaire side. I just understand that both of them are going to probably have to come off of their stance just a little bit if we're going to have baseball anytime soon. With that, Rob, let's get into the hits.
Okay, now, from the beginning.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Check it out.
The top stories of the day, every day at 5 o'clock. The hits.
Cue it up.
One.
Let's go.
Reports were there was not much traction in the Chiefs and Chris Jones contract extension talks from Ian Rappaport. The reason that, quote, not much traction exists has been made, has been made on contract talks because no negotiations or discussions have occurred since the tag. Jones has not participated and will not participate in the OTAs, virtual or otherwise. Sean, do we believe that Chris Jones will have a contract extension by that July 15th deadline?
No, I'd be really surprised if he does. Now, that doesn't mean that he's not going to end up a Chief long term. I just think that Chris Jones' timing hasn't been great, where let's say that Chris Jones' payday was supposed to come up last year. And I understand the Chiefs could have paid him. C-Dot and I kind of got in this argument yesterday off the air. He was like, well, why didn't they pay him? And I said, because I think they wanted to see him do it once again. And he did. Now they're just in a situation where they've got to pay the most important player on the team, the biggest asset the franchise has ever seen, the most important player in the history, maybe of the NFL, who's about to be the highest paid player in the history of the NFL, Patrick Mahomes. So unfortunately for Chris Jones, he's trying to get paid the same offseason that guy is. It just doesn't work out great for people sometimes. Again, that's not to say the Chiefs aren't going to set a budget and say, okay, Pat gets 43, which leaves blank amount of money going forward, maybe restructure a couple of other deals, and then go to the negotiation table with Chris Jones and say, all right, man, you want 20, but we can only give you 16. And then he goes, no, I'm not doing it for less than 17.5. Then the Chiefs go back and say, okay, well, then we're going to have to restructure this guy's deal and take a little bit of money from here. It can happen. Like, both guys can end up Chiefs long-term. I just don't think, Rob, that there's a snowball chance in hell that Chris Jones gets a deal done before Patrick Mahomes. And now that the talks have started for Patrick Mahomes, they're not just going to stall out, because there's never been a question of, do both sides want to get it done? It's just, what's the date they're going to get done, and what's the final amount going to be on the check that Pat gets? So now that the talks have started, I'm telling you right now, they will come to a deal eventually this summer with Patrick Mahomes. I just don't know exactly when they're going to come to a deal with Chris Jones, if ever.
Mike Garafolo, the NFL Network, notes The Chiefs were one of the teams that voted against the 4th and 15 onside kick replacement. Sean, with Patrick Mahomes as your quarterback, why would the Chiefs vote against this rule?
I don't necessarily think if the rule would have passed that the Chiefs would have had this huge advantage. Would they have had a bigger advantage than everybody else? Yeah, they've got the best quarterback, and 4th and 15 or 3rd and 15 for Patrick Mahomes is like 3rd and 3 for a mortal quarterback. So, yeah, they'd have a huge advantage, but only compared to all these other teams. So, again, this is one of those things, Rob. Eventually, this is going to pass. What happened with this rule is people like you and me and most people listening right now went, oh, cool. That'd be cool because I don't really like kickoffs anyway. And the onside kick last year only got recovered 4.2% of the time that it was attempted, so it hardly ever works. And now we can see the offense go back out there. I did it. You did it. Everybody did it. They went, oh, cool. That's a good rule. And it is. And the NFL went, no. That's too innovative. It's too quick. And it's too much fun. And it makes too much sense. Usually those things are kind of slow working for the NFL, but I do think in the next few years, I wouldn't be surprised if we don't have kickoffs at all. I mean, really, what's the point of a kickoff in 2020 where last year 78% of the kickoffs, I believe there was a number, ended up in touchbacks? And if you think about it, so that leaves 22% where the play is actually live. Out of those 22% of kickoffs, how many times does one of the following two things happen? There's a flag thrown on the kickoff, so it doesn't really end up happening anyway. Or a guy gets injured because it's just a train wreck coming from both sides. So the kickoff has become much less important, a much less smaller part of the game over the last few years. And I wouldn't be surprised in the next few years if they just completely get rid of it. I don't know what the solution is for teams just to start at the 20 or the 25 or what it's going to be. But yeah, the kickoff, let's face it, it's the lamest part of football. So if we can get rid of onside kicks and put the offense back out there, I'm all for it.
Per Shams, NBA Commissioner Adam Silver and the league office informed Board of Governors that July 31st is a target date for return to play this season. Sean, let's assume they actually return on the intended date, July 31st. Why would the NBA want to play at the end of the summer and possibly be ending its season the same time football is getting started?
Well, unfortunately for them, they're not really going to have... They got two choices. They can either completely condense the playoffs, completely condense the season. If they do that, they're not going to make as much money as they otherwise would, or they can drag it out. Then they have to go toe to toe with football. So you got to pick your poison if you're the NBA right now. So it makes more sense, from my opinion, drag it out. And if I'm the NBA compared to some of these other leagues, I drag it out as long as I possibly can, because college basketball had to deal with student athletes, students that were moving on to the rest of their lives. They couldn't just delay it and hang around. And baseball's got to deal with weather. They can't just play playoff games in December and January. It's too damn cold. The NBA doesn't really have to deal with that. The only thing that they're dealing with is, are they going to have to delay the 2020-21 season, which wouldn't be that big of a deal. So basketball feels like it's year-round anyway. Like basketball, golf, and NASCAR feel like the three sports that don't really have a break as it is. So yeah, I mean, if I'm the NBA, I delay as long as I can. I have as many teams in the playoffs as I can. And then think about it. You could get Zion. Even though the Pelicans are a very average basketball team, they're like the 22nd best record. If they allow 24 teams in, you get Zion in the playoffs. You get Trae Young in the postseason. Try this one on for size. What if both Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving are getting healthy right now, starting to practice, and then we start basketball up in a few weeks and they're ready to go? Then it completely changes the East playoffs. So for the NBA, it makes a lot of sense just kind of sit back and wait and take as much time as you possibly can. And those are the hits for today. Rob and I earlier today were talking about Major League Baseball and what their plan is going forward. I think that we're going to probably know exactly what it is, I would say, in the next 10 days. And the reason that I give that timetable is, if you would have asked me this 10 days ago, would we have already known what baseball's plan is? I would say, yeah, of course we will. Why wouldn't we? And then the reason that we haven't gotten an answer, I think, is because it's gotten so publicly ugly, if that makes sense. If all this stuff was happening behind closed doors, and Blake Snell didn't come out a couple of weeks ago and say, I'm not playing for only $3 million. And then I come on, I'm like, this guy's an idiot and he doesn't understand where. And then I start comparing him to doctors and lawyers and teachers and all that stuff. And then all of a sudden, a couple days ago, Max Scherzer comes out and he says it much more succinctly. He's like, we're not going to play for that because it's not fair. I think that We've got about probably 10 days to maybe 2 weeks at the most for baseball to come to some sort of a conclusion. Because right now, nobody's coming off their high horse. The owners are saying, we don't care how this looks. Like, PR hit, whatever. We're billionaires. We got mansions in 10 different cities and 20-car garages. It doesn't matter how you think we should be perceived. It doesn't matter how you look at us. We don't care. A lot of us have made a lot of money in our lives because our daddies did or our grandpa did, or we made the money in oil or in tech stocks. Whatever it is that these guys, people, maybe they're self-made, but they don't necessarily care what we, the fans, think. They don't necessarily care what the players think. And that makes a lot of sense from the owner's perspective. They're billionaires, they're businessmen, and they're trying to make money. I understand that. And then from the player's perspective, they're like, well, wait a minute. This is simple. This is easy. I was supposed to make $20 million if we played 162 games. Now we're going to play half that. So I won half the money. And the owners clap back and say, well, no, it's not quite that simple. So I understand both sides. I also understand that for you and me and most people driving around or at home listening right now, we can never dream about making that type of money even at a very discounted rate that these players are complaining about. I'm only going to make $10 million. So it hits the ear wrong from all sides. That's what sucks, is I feel like we're kind of being forced. Are you on the player's side or are you on the owner's side? I'm not on anybody's side, man. I just want to see some baseball. But I do think that we're going to see some football this year. St. Joe, can you go to training camp? Probably not. We haven't heard officially, but probably not. Can you go to Arrowhead that first Thursday? Haven't heard officially what the plan is. Maybe, probably not. Again, I don't necessarily know, but there are a lot of questions that are about to be answered by our next guest from Pro Football Focus. He is Sammy. He is Sam Munson. Sam, as always, thanks for coming on. How you doing?
Doing good. How about you?
I'm doing well. So I'm sure that you've heard that the talks have begun, negotiations for Patrick Mahomes' new contract. Do you think that he should sign a contract before Dak and Deshaun kind of set the market for him?
I don't know that it matters for him, because I think it's so sort of accepted and obvious everywhere that he will be completely resetting the market, that I doubt those other two are gonna register. You know, I think Mahomes, assuming he wants to do that, which, you know, I don't know why you wouldn't in your first big contract, like, he's gonna put that number somewhere absolutely astronomical, and I think deservedly so. And I just don't know that Dak or even a Deshaun Watson are going to have the same kind of pulling power.
So we're on the same page, because I said the exact same thing. I said it doesn't really matter, because Pat's so much better than these guys and done things that the league's never seen, that I think the number's going to be the same way. What do you think the number's going to be? Because a lot of people are throwing 40 out there. I've heard as high as 50, which sounds a little bit ridiculous. What does your inclination tell you he's going to end up getting paid?
I think there's a few different ways you could do this. I mean, the league is not what it used to be just a few years ago. You know, Alex Smith got a $100 million contract because when that happened, the prospect of not having an Alex Smith was so terrifying that you just had to lock up a guy like that regardless of what the cost was. So if you had a decent quarterback back then, that guy had all the leverage in the world. But that's not really true anymore. And, you know, you look at Dak Prescott's negotiations, the fact that Andy Dalton is now a backup, Marcus Mariota, Jameis Winston, Cam Newton doesn't even have a job. Like, good quarterbacks are not that difficult to find in today's NFL compared to even, you know, 5 or so years ago. But a guy like Mahomes gives the quarterback the leverage again, you know, because he isn't just a good quarterback. He's already a transcendent quarterback. He's already a guy doing things that we've never seen before and doing them at a higher level than maybe any quarterback has ever done it. So he's back to having basically all the leverage again, because he gets to argue, unlike any of these other guys, look, you can either pay me what I want to get paid, or you can go back to just, you know, mere mortals at the quarterback position and see how you like it. So I think he's got all the leverage, and he can either push that yearly number as high as possible, or you can start doing some creative stuff, you know, contracts the way that Kirk Cousins has been doing his, fully guaranteed. So maybe he signs for fewer years, maybe it's a 3 or 4 year deal, but it's 100% guaranteed. And okay, I'm not going to push the number into $45 million a year, but you're going to give me all of this guaranteed. There's going to be no fake money in this deal.
Talk with Sam Munson of Pro Football Focus here on The Drive. DeAndre Hopkins came out yesterday, might have been the day before, and said that he's the best wide receiver in the NFL. Just curious, you guys over at Pro Football Focus, how do you guys have him graded versus Tyreek Hill?
I think the best wide receiver in the NFL conversation is really interesting right now, because I think you could go in a number of different directions, and I don't know that you'd be crazy by taking any of them. You know, I think Julio Jones, Michael Thomas, even though he's deployed in a different way to some of these guys, DeAndre Hopkins is definitely one. Even a guy like Chris Godwin, and then Tyreek Hill is a very different style of receiver to those guys, but I do think he's in the same conversation. So I think there's four or five receivers who you could make a legitimate case for being the best wideout in the entire league. And I think Tyreek Hill is definitely one. They're very difficult players to compare because they're so stylistically different. You know, Tyreek Hill, maybe the fastest player in the league. He's just lethal, so dangerous that, you know, you can cover him for an entire game and it just takes one snap where you switch off and boom, you're toast. And that's 50 yards and a touchdown. But he's also fantastic at the catch point. You know, he's a really good contested catch guy for somebody that is not a big Julio Jones dimension type of receiver. And then you've got DeAndre Hopkins, and his calling card is, you know, he hasn't got that much separation down the years, but his production, when you look at the quarterbacks that have been throwing him the ball down the years, is insane. Like, you should not be able to be that productive given the players that have been throwing the ball his way, and yet he has consistently year on year.
Sam, you mentioned Cam Newton in passing. How surprised are you that he's one of the quarterbacks that's left out there that still doesn't have a gig?
Not very surprised, because he wants a starting job, and there weren't that many of those going. There were more quarterbacks available than starting jobs this offseason, so somebody was going to get left out in the cold, and Cam Newton is the guy whose question marks were all medical related. And, you know, obviously this pandemic has meant that medical answers are pretty tricky to come by at the moment. You can't get this guy in your building. You can't, you know, run him through the battery of tests that you would usually do to answer all the questions and to assuage any doubts you had over his health. So I think it kind of makes sense that he's left on the outside waiting for an opportunity. And I think now he's probably taking the approach that, look, I'm better off waiting for a quarterback to get hurt and sweeping in and getting a starting job than I am, you know, signing like Jameis Winston as a backup somewhere and just sort of biding my time for another opportunity.
One guy that does, Sammy, have a starting job, at least for now, is Baker Mayfield. How thin of ice is he on? Because I assume he's going to get every single opportunity this year to succeed in Cleveland. But what if he doesn't? Then are we talking about maybe that's it for Baker in the NFL?
Yeah, I mean, if he has another season like the one he had last year, I think he's in real trouble, because this entire offseason for Cleveland has been about ensuring that doesn't happen. You know, they changed the coaching staff. They brought in a whole new offense, a whole new scheme that should play to his strengths. They brought in personnel to make sure it doesn't happen again. You bring in, you overpay potentially for an Austin Hooper at tight end so you can run these two tight end sets. You bring in Jack Conklin and pay him big money. He's a good, not a great right tackle. You draft at the top of the draft a left tackle to solve that problem. So everything they've been doing has been about answering all those questions and making sure that Baker Mayfield is in a great position to succeed. So if he doesn't, at this point, the only place to blame then is Baker Mayfield, and you're back to looking for another quarterback again.
A couple minutes left with Sam Munson here, Pro Football Focus on the Drive. Sammy, what do you make of the Broncos? Because CDOT thinks that they're going to be a wild card team. I don't necessarily think that they're a threat yet. Obviously, a lot of it's contingent on how good Drew Locke is. What do you make of the Denver Broncos' chances this season?
You're right. Everything really hinges on the quarterback, as is the case for most teams. But I really like what they did in terms of helping him out. You know, John Elway is tied to Drew Locke, whether he turns out well or not. You know, he didn't have the luxury of starting again at quarterback. So he said, well, okay, I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure he succeeds. I'm going to get arguably the best wide receiver in the draft in the first round, and then I'm going to circle back and get a dangerous weapon like KJ Hamler in the second, and you pair those guys with a Cortland Sutton who's already really good. Suddenly that receiving core is looking really, really encouraging, and, you know, it might not be up there with Kansas City's yet, but they're certainly heading in the same direction. They've already got weapons out of the backfield. Phillip Lindsay, Melvin Gordon came on. Royce Freeman is still there. He's a good running back as well. You know, the defense, I think, has some more questions to it, but they've added players there as well. they're definitely gearing up to try and chase the Chiefs in that division. But as you say, it all hinges on whether Drew Lock can be a viable quarterback or not, or whether he just showed some flashes last season.
Yeah, I like the Broncos offseason also. Did you like what the Chiefs did this offseason? Because they didn't necessarily land any big fish, but they did re-sign a bunch of guys, albeit to one-year deals, and got Edwards-Helaire in the first round. What do you make of the Chiefs offseason?
It's definitely an interesting offseason. I think Edwards-Helaire is an intriguing pick because I think he'll look fantastic within this offense. You know, it's obviously one of the best offenses, if not the best, in the NFL. Andy Reid is fantastic. He's got a history of using difference-making running backs well, you know, dating back to Brian Westbrook with the Eagles. So I think Edwards-Helaire will look fantastic, and it will look like a great pick because of that. But generally speaking, you know, running backs in the first round, particularly as high as that, it's not a good investment of resources. It's more of an opportunity cost thing. You could potentially move the needle more overall when it comes to winning or losing games by drafting somebody at a different position, whether it's cornerback or whether it's pass rusher or whether it's, even another receiver. If they'd gone back to the well and built in some contingency for the time where Sammy Watkins isn't there and those kinds of things. It's just, it's a lot to sort of put on a running back that the data says is not really worth it. But overall, you know, I like some of the moves they made. I think Willie Gay Jr. has the potential to be a really good player for them. And they I think, hit on a few guys lower down the draft that are really good players as well.
Sammy, before you get out of here, it's been 25 years and only one team has been able to repeat. And essentially, a team has an opportunity to do it every single year. What are the chances the Chiefs can pull off that trick and win back-to-back Super Bowls?
Yeah, it's difficult. You know, winning Super Bowls is an extremely difficult thing to do. Winning them back-to-back is incredibly hard, but you have no better starting point than having the best quarterback in the NFL. And the Chiefs are going to have that every time Patrick Mahomes laces them up for week one of an NFL season. So it's obviously extremely difficult to do, but the Chiefs start off with the best possible advantage over everybody else in the league, and that's got to put them in the running every year.
You're the best, Sammy. Appreciate your time, man.
Anytime. Take it easy.
Love catching up with Sammy, talking some football. I agree with a lot of the stuff that he had to talk about, especially at the beginning where he said that it doesn't really matter the chronological order of these contracts. So this offseason, Pat's trying to get paid, Deshaun's trying to get paid, Dak's trying to get paid, and we pretend like it's this game that they're all equal and whoever gets paid first gets paid the least. No, it doesn't matter if Pat's first, second, or third. It doesn't matter if he gets paid tomorrow or the last day of the summer, whenever. Pat's going to make more money, and I will say probably substantially more money. I'd be surprised. In the past, the way that it's worked is best quarterback gets $30 million, then the next guy that signs gets $31 million, the next guy gets $32 million or $33 million, then the next guy, Russell Wilson, gets $35 million. Well, for Pat, he's so much better than all these other guys and more accomplished that I think that his contracts should basically follow suit, where you can't just say that's the way that it works, so that's how it's going to work with Pat. Pat's done so many things that the rest of the league has never seen, where if Dak gets $38 million and Deshaun gets $39 million, then Pat should get $45 million. If we're being dead honest. We'll get back into the Patrick Mahomes contract conversation with Jay Binkley coming up in about 10 minutes. He's going to sit in with us for a little while. If you were with us in the 3 o'clock hour, Rob and I were talking about our softball season, which is going to start back up. So we both play out at Blue Valley Rec. And Blue Valley Rec is doing what they can to continue the season, which I will say surprises me. I guess I just assume that when Rudy Gobert got the COVID and sports completely shut down and, you know, we didn't have an NCAA tournament and there's really nothing going on besides the UFC and wrestling and that weird golf tournament. Like, we haven't really seen sports now for coming up on like 80 or 90 days, that my softball league was not going to be one of the first to come back. But I was wrong. So Rob starts on Thursday night. I start on Sunday night, but this is not going to be like it's been in the past. And I think there's a lot of people out there that either play softball where we play or play around Kansas City, the general metro area, the suburbs, who are going to be dealing with a lot of the same stuff. Check this out. They sent all the players an email that said the following. The bleachers have been removed. I repeat, the bleachers have been removed. I don't know about you, but every time I've ever gone to a softball game to watch somebody play, my ass has sat in the bleachers. Well, there are none. So you ask, okay, where are the fans going to sit? Where are the wives and the girlfriends? Where are all the little snot-nosed kids going to sit? They got to bring their own chairs. Okay, the fans have to bring their own chairs. That makes sense. Social distance, bring your chairs. Different times we're living in. Cool. Oh, no. So do the players. No dugouts. The dugouts this year will be used essentially as the same thing as an airport runway, where it's a liaison between when they scan your ticket when you get onto the plane. It literally says in the email from Blue Valley Rec, the dugout will only be used for entering and exiting the field, and in bold letters, absolutely nothing can be in the dugout at any time, period. So, no dugouts, no bleachers, everybody's going to be having fold-out seats, no water fountains, which again, I'm either a Gatorade or a beer guy in my Sunday night league, so not a big deal. No sunflower seeds, he said. To the point where if you're caught with sunflower seeds in your pocket, in your mouth, spitting on the dirt, game over. They will call the game. And now there's also something called a strike zone mat for social distancing. And Rob, you told me the strike zone mat was around before social distancing?
I've played in leagues with the strike zone mat. I don't like those leagues, but now they're every league.
Yeah, so the strike zone mat, still got to have the same arc on the ball, but instead of the umpire doing basically, I mean, let's just call it what it is, a slow pitch, softball, Sunday night beer league umpire has two jobs. One, call balls and strikes, which shouldn't really matter because you shouldn't be taking pitches in said league. That's ridiculous. And two, make the call at second base the best you can from like 180 feet away. Those are the two jobs really that the slow pitch softball umpire has. And then the final rule is no handshakes, which is fine because at the end of the game, my team's not that good anyway. We usually lose, which means inherently I'm pissed off and I don't want to shake your hand necessarily. I'm a bad sport. So I'm fine with no handshakes. I'm fine with no water fountains, but no seeds, strike zone mats, no bleachers, individual seats, and the dugout is just a runway. I'm going to drink a lot of beer to make this feel like softball. That's Rob. I'm the Sports Machine coming up in about 20 minutes. You can ask us anything, so get those texts rolling in right now on the Smitty's Garage Burgers and Beer text line. Don't forget, the number has changed. I repeat, the number has changed. It is now the same number that you would dial up to talk to us. It is 913-576-7610 to text us in. That is a text line for the Smitty's Garage Burgers and Beer text line coming up in about 20 minutes. Get those texts rolling in right now. You can ask us anything. Before that, we talk some Patrick Mahomes, and then we get out of here. It's the weekend. It's a drive.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
Weekend is almost here. Got Rob Brenton across the glass. Oh, look where the cat drug in. Jay Binkley. I'm the Sports Machine, Sean Levine. So, Bink, I figure we're going to talk Patrick Mahomes' contract. What a better guy to bring in than yourself, who loves football more than any human being on planet Earth. But before we do that, if we're going to talk Patrick Mahomes, he currently plays for
the Virtual Royals.
The Virtual Royals. Yeah. If people don't know what the hell I'm talking about, why don't you tell them what I'm talking about? Because Patrick Mahomes is now a Virtual Royal.
Well, he is. And we started this on opening day. We had the brainchild of it back when it looked like, you know, there was going to be a lot of closing down of states and stuff like that. We said, hey, you know what? Let's play the Royals. Whatever game the Royals are going to play, let's play and see what it would have done. And who knows? It might be doing this for a while. But we're already on game 58, Sports Machine.
Damn.
This is game 58. Whatever game the Royals, like tonight, they're in Cleveland.
So tonight would have in real life been the 59th game.
They're in Cleveland tonight. They just finished 4 in Boston. And so we've been doing this every year. And Kramer, that I do these games with here at 610, we're on the 610 on Facebook Live, Twitter, our 610 Twitter, YouTube, 610 Sports Space KC. And Mahomes, we're like, you know, he played baseball at Texas Tech. He was drafted by the Detroit Tigers. People in this town love Mahomes. Mm-hmm. So why don't we put him on the Virtual Royals? And we did, and we created him and tried to make his face look like that. And we gave
what does
him,
he play? What position?
He's outfield now because of the two-way player rule. He's got to play 20 games. Then we can make him a two-way player. It's the Shohei Ohtani rule. So 20 games in the outfield, then he could play in the infield.
Oh.
It's like Ohtani's got to be a DH for 20 games this year to requalify himself since he didn't pitch last year.
I don't know why I care about how a video game football player is doing on the baseball field, but for some reason I really do. So how's he doing?
He's got 4 home runs already. He just hit a grand slam. He's only played like 8 games. He hit a grand slam the other night in Boston. He's a power hitter. He does a great job in the outfield, but his gloves are the Chiefs. His shoes are red and yellow. Everything's red and yellow.
That's
his bat's
fresh.
Red. But it's cool. It's cool. See the reaction of one Patrick Mahomes. We threw him on there. The rest of it's legit. We play the starters. We call up players. We check out Omaha, see how they're doing. Like Jackson Coar makes his debut for the Royals tonight.
Ooh.
Because I figured he would be on the Royals, you know, taxi squad that they would have, and they'd probably integrate him in with the Royals this year.
How are these virtual Royals doing this season?
It's 7 games under right now, but they're starting to turn things around. They just won 3 out of 4 in Boston.
I like the how realistic it is, because that's about where they would be.
It's very realistic, and the players play like they normally would. And the cool thing about it is so many people have watched us, even our sister station, Minnesota, that carries the Twins games. They carried our games on there whenever the Royals were supposed to play the Twins. So we have a lot of fun with it, and a lot of Royals fans enjoy it just to be doing something.
No, I get it. Yeah, I understand that. And so Patrick Mahomes is going to be doing something very soon, and that is putting ink to paper for a contract that's going to be the biggest in the history of the NFL.
Oh, and by the way, he wants one of the virtual game, too. It said he wants more money.
I think that the virtual contract's probably going to be less than the real one. I think the baseball one's going to be significantly less than the football one. My question to you, JB, includes this. There are three high-profile quarterbacks that want the deal this offseason, and they're all really young, and they're all to some extent proven in their own right. You got Deshaun Watson, who came out of the same draft as Pat, and then you got Dak Prescott, and then Pat himself. Do you think it matters who signs first? Because in the past, it's kind of been this guy gets the A money, then the B money, and then the C money, and it mattered what order it came in. As far as Pat goes, does it really matter if those other guys signed before or after?
No, it doesn't, as long as you put in some. The one thing about Mahomes is he's got an opportunity here to be the first guy to kind of tie his contract to salary cap percentage.
Yeah.
So he can be the first to kind of tie to that salary cap percentage. They thought about it before, but it just didn't work. Pat Mahomes is like the perfect person to do it. And then there's talks, would he want just a smaller deal, like 4 years at higher money?
Mm-hmm.
But Mahomes has sat down, and he wants to have players around him. So he said that, you know, I don't want to take everything because I want to be able to pay the players. Like, he's one of those guys that really understands, you know, like Manning did, like Brady did. You know, they understand I've got to have talent around me to continue being the player that I want to be.
And I respect that, but Manning and Brady didn't necessarily do that until 10, 12 years into their career.
He'll get the bag, but again, he's got the chance to be the first player kind of tied to the salary cap going up and down as far as what his percentage is. But if I'm the Chiefs, you leave it open. I think if you tied it to the salary cap with Pat Mahomes, you could raise it without a problem every year. You just keep escalating it. And, hey, if someone else gets a deal, we'll escalate you beyond that. Those things can be worked out. But, yeah, that's the danger. Why do we want to give you – why would Pat take money now and these other quarterbacks would use that as kind of a leapfrog over
that's
Mahomes?
That's what T. and I got into yesterday, because he said, no, it's going to be 5 for $200 million. It's going to be about 40 a year. And I said – that sounds great right now, but what happens 3 years from now when somebody else gets paid who's not the best quarterback in the league, and then all of a sudden Patrick Mahomes is the third or fourth or fifth? That's not going to work. So I'm with you. It's either going to be a series of like 3-year deals where he just makes a ton of money each time. The one that makes the most sense is what you're talking about, for both sides, where Pat has his deal, a percentage of what the salary cap is, and then he can make sure that he's happy, and the Chiefs can make sure that he gets what he's worth, which is the highest paid quarterback in the league, at least for the length of his contract. So to me, that makes the most sense. How much do you think the contract that Pat's about to sign has to do with Chris Jones? Because when it comes to money that's available, there's only a certain amount, right?
Yep.
And it's kind of like all of our budgets. If you want to get dessert, then you can't get wine. And if you want to drink the wine, you can't get dessert. You can't always have both. Sometimes you can. Can the Chiefs make it both work? And is it the type of thing where for Chris Jones, they're just kind of waiting to see what the bottom line is for Pat so they know how much money they've got?
And if this year they go out and they ring up another Super Bowl championship and you got two, then you can start parting ways with the players. That's what the Patriots did during their dynasty. It's what the Colts did. Do you remember the Colts? They would only pay a certain amount of players. It was like a core 6 or 7 they would pay, and mm-hmm. then everybody else kind of floated, and they would get rid of you. Like, Adrian James, gone. See, we're not going to pay you. We'll draft Joseph Addai and come in here and win a Super Bowl with the Colts, and they did it that direction. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting. I mean, obviously you want to keep Pat Mahomes, but with Chris Jones, it's just an unfortunate thing. Now, if there was kind of a wink, wink, promise, promise, hey, let's take care of Pat. We'll take care of you, Chris. We're going to take care of you down the line. But, again, do you want to tie all your money up in the two players? And it doesn't sound like the Chiefs had really been negotiating much with Chris Jones.
What does your gut tell you as far as Chris Jones goes? And I know you don't know anything more than I know, so we're just kind of guessing here and seeing what sticks against the wall. But we agree that it's not a matter of if for Pat, it's just when and how much money it's going to be. How do you think it ends up playing out with Chris Jones? Because there's a million different opinions.
I think he plays this year with his franchise, and I think they sit down and bargain with him for the next year. They'll see about the production this year. It's still more money than he's ever made, but I think they'll sit down and look at the production, and if it's a good deal for them, fine. If not, they'll find a way to maybe move him or trade him, move him somewhere else, or they'll find a way just to – say goodbye to him.
I just can't imagine.
I don't imagine them doing
I can't see them doing that.
I think they'll come to some kind of deal with him. The salary cap escalating like it's going to be when the NFL adds even more revenue with the separate partner, an online partner for games. I think that it's going to go up. I think they'll find a way to get it done.
Yeah, as good as Brett Veach is and as good as he's been, especially with keeping his own guys, I just can't imagine that the way that it ends for Chris Jones when he's 26 years old, especially the Chiefs win another Super Bowl, is so he's a back-to-back Super Bowl champion. He's 26 years old. He's in his prime. He'll probably go out there and have double-digit sacks again. Double-digit sacks, he said. Easy for me to say. And then they're going to say, yeah, thanks, dude. Like, we really liked having you here. I don't see that happening, but obviously it could. Luckily for Pat, I'll say this, Bink. There's no questioning, if you're the Chiefs front office, that he's your guy. And that's the first time in the history of this franchise that that's ever happened. I mean, I literally think you'd have to go back. I wasn't old enough to remember Lenny Dawson, but all the quarterbacks after that, I can remember a ton of them, and they never had their guy. Like, even when they had Alex Smith and inked him to a contract, they knew that he had a ceiling. And even though Trent Green worked out really well and put up top five stats for several years, he kind of had that ceiling. There's no question with Patrick Mahomes that he is the guy. I feel like he's the only guy in the league that I can say that about. I mean, think about these other guys that have gotten paid. Kirk Cousins, you don't think the Vikings were like, damn, should we pay him or not? Because if we pay him, then we, you know, we got the quarterback situation figured out. But if we don't, then we're going to have to try to find at least somebody that's as good as him. Dak Prescott, I don't think the Cowboys are in love with him. Carson Wentz, if the Eagles could go back on that. Luckily for Pat, it's not a matter of, oh, should we do this or not? Everybody agrees they should.
And here's the thing. Let me ask you this. In 5 years, who's on the Chiefs roster beside Pat Mahomes?
They can't afford anybody. It's just Pat and me and you.
Well,
and
think about it. With the aging, like at this point, you know, Travis Kelce's beyond 35 years old in 5 years.
Or, I mean, Tyreek Hill, that'll be nine. What would that be? 8 years, nine years
yeah,
in the league.
And you recycle Clyde Edwards-Helaire. You know, guys like that. You know, might be on this team in 5 years. Might if he gets that second contract or not. But that's the way it works in the NFL. Once you get that guy, like a Brady, like a Big Ben, like the Aaron, you let everything else float.
It's a revolving door. Yeah,
it is a completely revolving door. And the Chiefs did a lot of 1 year contracts. You know, with Pinnell and DeMarcus Robinson and Sammy Watkins and Breedland.
A lot of them. That's all they did. They're all one-year contracts.
One-year deals for the Kansas City Chiefs. So it's about keeping it short and simple, try to make this run this year and then kind of jettison some of the salary next season and get themselves in a better shape. But I look at the grand scheme of things and I think, okay, who's really going to be on this team? Maybe one of the new punters?
Yeah, I mean – I think that if you're talking about
Butker's still here
4 or 5 years from now, trying to project anybody that's going to be on the Chiefs besides Patrick Mahomes is a near impossible thing to do. By the way, coming up in a few minutes, you can ask us anything. So get those texts rolling in. Don't forget the number has changed. It's 913-576-7610. That is the new Smitty's Garage Burgers and Beer text line coming up in a couple of minutes. You can ask us anything. So if you want to know about the Chiefs or the Royals or the Jayhawks or my dating life or Rob's lack of a dating life or my favorite movie or cartoon, whatever the hell you want to know, just ask and we will answer coming up in about 5 minutes. Bink, I would say this when it comes to Pat's contract. I think that it's a type of thing where if it gets done soon, then we can have the conversation about Chris Jones still getting done even this offseason. Because technically, like, everybody wants to know, is it possible? Do the Chiefs have enough money? Well, right now, they're somewhat handicapped. They're somewhat handcuffed by the money that they've got available. Fortunately for them, NFL salary caps are kind of monopoly money, and you can move things around. We know how it works. They did that earlier this year. Remember, they moved around the money for Sammy Watkins. They reshuffled the money for Frank Clark. So technically, they could make it work. But back to what you were saying a couple of minutes ago about the revolving door. Once you sign Patrick Mahomes, let's say it's next week, next month, 2 months from now, whenever, right before they start the season, and the number is 42, 45, 50, whatever the number is, at that point, it's going to be all about two things when you build a better on Patrick Mahomes. What you said, the revolving door, which is basically a bunch of one-year contracts. So can you get Mike Pinnell to come back on another one-year deal? Great. Can you get D-Rob to come back on another one-year deal? Great. Can you convince Sammy Watkins to restructure for a year? Great. That's what you're going to have to do. Threefold, I should say. That, the Mahomes magnet, you have to hope that that's a real thing. And guys are like, no, I want to be a part of that. And they come and play there. And then the draft. And you have to keep getting Mecole Hardmans, and you have to keep getting guys like Clyde Edwards-Helaire on the offensive side because it's cheap and you've got them under control for 4 or 5 years. That's the way you keep winning for Patrick Mahomes, because to answer your question, 4 or 5 years, who's going to be on the team? Pat, hopefully Andy Reid at that point, still the head coach. We'll see at that point. It'll make Andy, what's Andy, 61, 62, so he's 67, 67, 68 at that point. Hopefully he's still the head coach, but you're right. At the beginning of Pat's career, he had so much talent. He had the rushing champion. He had the best tight end. He had Tyreek. He had a bunch of weapons. Luckily, I think he's transcended enough, like a Tom Brady, like a Peyton Manning, where even though that door is going to be revolving his entire career, he's still going to give this team to play in a Super Bowl for a long, long time.
He's only, and keep in mind, if they do sign Mahomes, they only have till July 15th to sign Chris Jones. Because then it's only a one-year contract. You can't negotiate with a franchise tag till after the season. But they have July 15th. That's the date for the cutoff.
Yeah, and sometimes these deadlines make deals, like we're talking about with baseball, where when's baseball going to come back? What if they don't have a solution? That's not a real deadline. The one that you just did, that's a deadline. That's like we have at our jobs. Like that's like your wife tells you, like an ultimatum. If this doesn't happen at this time, then you're done. That's how that works. So with Chris Jones, there's a hard date. If they don't have it by July 15th is the date, then that's not going to happen, at least right now. When it comes to baseball, there's not really that hard deadline of we got to come back on this date. And, Bink, the crazy thing about the whole baseball thing is this. I figured that somebody would budge first, either the players or the owners. And it comes down to this. The owners say, we're not going to make as much revenue as we would normally make. Now, you and me and normal people with normal salaries or hourly employees, we don't want to hear about that because you're a billionaire. But it does make sense what they're saying. So I was going to make this amount of money. Now that there's no beer sales or ticket sales or parking or Cracker Jacks or nachos or hot dogs and all that stuff, not as much money goes into my pocket. So even though I told said player, I committed to contractually paying this guy $10 million bucks, and now he's saying, well, it's simple, owner. You said you'd give me 10. We're only playing half, so I only won half. The owners clap back and go, no. We're not actually making, you know, when I agreed to pay you that money, we thought we were going to go. So I do understand both sides. But the truth is, and this is just one man's thoughts, man, just my perspective. I don't want to hear it. Like in the NBA, the negotiations have been pretty quiet. In the NHL, they've been pretty much behind closed doors. With baseball, now I've heard from Scherzer. Now I've heard from the owners. I heard from Blake Snell. Dog, I know that. The sausage, it's a disgusting process the way it's made, but it's delicious, especially the Q39 sausage. That sausage will change your life. But I don't want to see how it's made, Binkley. You like sausage. Absolutely. You love sausage.
But is it like hot dogs?
Yes. It's the same process. I hate to break that to you. But you don't want to see how it's made. That's what I'm saying with baseball. Don't make it public. I don't want to hear millionaires fight billionaires and the vice versa. Just come to a conclusion. Let's get baseball, because right now it's us, the fans, that are losing.
No, we are, and it's tough, and I can see both sides. It's, you know, like, I always hear, you know, the people that I know, you know, I've known people lost their jobs or getting significant pay cuts. It's all around me. But the bottom line is, if it's like Larry Lenexa, that's the accountant, you know what? Here's the deal. He may have taken a pay cut, and he says, you know what? Everybody needs to play. They need to play. Like, I took a pay cut as well. But the problem is, Larry Lenexa doesn't bring in a million people to come watch him do accounting. He doesn't bring in television rights fees to watch him account. So it's difficult. It's a tough situation. Hopefully the love of the game supersedes it all and we get baseball back, because that's what it's about.
Yeah, and the longer this thing goes is when it's actually going to start to get scary. If we're having the same conversation 2 weeks from now where nobody's budging, at some point it's going to be, damn, we got to get in like at least 80 or 100 games, and we can't play games opposite the Super Bowl in February. That's not how this game works. So
they had their chance. They had their chance to really set something, a precedent for the other leagues.
And the UFC
in front
had to
of
do it.
Yeah, that's in golf and NASCAR.
Yeah, no, they didn't do that. They did the opposite. They made it look much, much worse. All right, that's Jay Binkley. Don't forget to check out the virtual Royal. 6 o'clock, right? Coming up right after
6 o'clock pregame, 6:10 first pitch. Jackson Coward debut. Stop it, Rob. Smile.
And Patrick Mahomes in the lineup tonight, too?
That's right. Batting second.
How are you not going to watch that? All right, thank you, Binkley. Appreciate you. You're my main man. Rob, right now, fire me up the music for Ask Us Anything.
I have a question. Yes. In these conjugal visits, you can have sex with women?
Yep.
You sure can. Okay, I'll do it.
That's a very good question.
Yes, I thought so too.
Here we go. The time has come. You can ask us anything. Don't forget the new text line is the same number to call, 913-576-7610. That is the new Smitty's Garage Burgers and Beer text line, 913-576-7610. You can ask me whatever the hell you want to know for the next couple of minutes, and then I'm out of here. It's the weekend. From the 816 Sports Machine, beer, regular, cheese bratwurst, or all of the above? I had a really bad experience with a cheese bratwurst the first time that I tried to grill one of those up. I didn't understand that if you overcooked it just a little bit, the cheese liquefies and will literally squirt out of it. And it got in my eye and ruined my contact and pretty much ruined my evening. So even though it tastes delicious, I'm going to go with a beer brat. From the 913, hey, Sports Machine, you seem like a guy who's had a lot of different jobs. What was your favorite aside from your current one? Yeah, I don't know what makes it seem like a guy that I've had a lot of jobs, but I have. You know, in a weird way, my first job at Schnucks bagging groceries. If I go to a grocery store to the day, I don't let them bag my groceries. Not because I don't trust them, because I like it. Building the walls and putting the light stuff on the top, it's phenomenal. From the 785, or umpiring, but I've got a love-hate relationship with umpiring baseball games. I took a shot to the Mann region a couple of years ago as a plate umpire. And I kind of retired that day. Yeah, no, not umpiring. I didn't like that as much as I thought I did. From the 785 Sports Machine, what's a good date night home-cooked meal? Pizza Hut? Papa John's, I would say. Oh, home-cooked? Fettuccine Alfredo with shrimp. 816 asked me, what's my favorite drinking game? Kings? I'm old school. Flip cup? Beer dye? This thing on? Y'all know what I'm talking about?
Beer dye is my game right there, dude. I'll play beer dye with you any day.
816, have I ever been to the Up and Smoke tour? Funny you'd ask. Yeah, I was at the Up and Smoke tour. Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, Exhibit, Eminem, Warren G. We walked in during Warren G. I'll never forget it. From the 913, are you a Dorothy Blanche or a Rose guy? Blanche? Of course, who's not? Favorite bar in Lawrence? Louise's, probably, now that I'm an adult, but before I was an adult, the Hawk. I love the Jayhawker Cafe. Always gonna have a special place in my heart. Thanks to our guests today, including Josh Vernier, including Jay Binkley, and Rob Brenton, who's 8 feet tall and apparently just had a growth spurt 2 years ago. On the Sports Machine, Sean Levine. CDOT is back on Monday. This is The Drive.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.